Out of LaGrange College from Canton, Georgia. So the catcher has done well behind the plate. And he's one for two with a run as well, has walked. And a curveball from Owenitz paints the zone for a strike, 0-1. Has really been working it in. A lot of off-speed pitches for him. The 0-1. A swing and a pop-up into the second baseman, Daniels, who tracks in and makes the easy grab for the third out. So a 1-2-3 inning. That's going to bring Julian Tristan on the mound to close it out for the Rafters as we head to the top of the ninth here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning, Julian Tristan will step on the mound to hopefully close it out for the Rafters and get them back in the win column after a five-game losing streak, though. Julian Tristan, 14 games appeared in with a 2-1 record. He's got seven saves, leads the team in saves, 16 innings of work. He's allowed 13 hits, 9 runs, but 14 strikeouts. So Tristan, it's his turn to record his eighth save, but the Rafters still have some work to do. As Blake Salomon, who was 0 for 3 with two strikeouts. So Tristan looking to retire this side and give the Rafters back a much-needed win. Losing six of their past seven. Tristan fires on a swing and a bouncer, charging Brewer, and the throw down to first, and he gets him one down. So Bobo now at first, Lordoy in right field. So a little bit of a change there. So Brewer and Bobo link up. Two away, Brock Daniels, who's had a hit on three at-bats and has struck out as well. Rafters two outs away from getting back in the win column. Tristan serves in. It's a fastball to strike, 0-1. Tristan from Irvine, California, and Westcliff University, and he works in again, 0-2. A All-star, rightfully so. No balls, two strikes. One down. Tristan sets the 0-2 to fastball. Just topped away and back behind the plate. 0-2. 0-2 count. Well, one gone. Tristan sets the 0-2 to Daniels. Just outside of the zone. As boos around Witterfield, the fans did not like that call. But nonetheless, the 1-2, swing and a miss up top. Tristan gets him, records his first strikeout. And Daniels goes down, and possibly the final batter of the night Anthony Aloisio. So Aloisio 0-for-3 with a strikeout. To cap off this night, and which would be a victory for the Rafters, can they do so? Tristan delivers as a fastball inside for a ball. And a 1-0. A 1-0 count, two gone, and a swing and a high fly ball as Johnson tracking back into center field, makes the grab before the warning track. Rafters get back in the win column. A much deserved and a much needed victory as they take down Battle Creek 6-2 to split not only this series but the season series. They out hit the Battle Jacks 6-4. They capitalized off of a big inning in the bottom of the third where they got five runs, and you take it, they got a run in the seventh, and that did it. So a much needed victory for the Rafters as they end their five game losing skid. They get back to 8-10 overall in the second half. And so you look at a 28-25 overall as a team throughout the first two halves. But a big win and a much-needed win. So credit to Drake Fries, who did a great job tonight. Mitchell Whitcamp as well. But you had a lot of contributions, and they capitalized in that third inning. You had guys like Eric Broussard, who went 1-for-2. Chris Conniff had a hit. Johnson had a hit. Gallison had a hit. So six different Rafters had a hit tonight, and it was big all around. So a big victory as this will be their last game at Waterfield. Not until Sunday, though. They have the Dock Spiners tomorrow night at 6:30 at Herb Acre Field. So they'll head to Fond du Lac for tomorrow. Then a 1-5 game on Sunday here in Wisconsin Rapids before the All-Star break. So Wisconsin Rapids, a big win. Fireworks after this game that will be distributed out by behind right field. So a big win all around. Wisconsin Rapids, Rafters. For everybody there on the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio at WFHR, my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Wisconsin Rapids. We'll see you tomorrow night in Fond du Lac. Have a good night, everybody.
Good friend Rich Ojeda to come talk with us. Rich is the host of Ojeda Live, heard and seen nightly on YouTube and Facebook. He's also the head chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack, turnleftpack.org, the website if you want to take a look at that. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
So what do you make of that? NATO's got an open doors policy. Russia's got an open window policy.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, anybody who has ever crossed Vladimir Putin has basically fell up a flight of stairs, out windows, accidentally, I don't know, ingested poison, and I'm going to tell you that this is a black eye on Vladimir Putin because basically Prigozhin did what he did. And from the last word that I heard, the mercenaries from Wagner Group are no longer fighting in Russia. Now, Russia has lost over 200. They just hit that today. 240,000 Russian troops have been killed. And now we know that Wagner has lost over 20,000 and also 40,000 wounded in action. But I'm telling you, Vladimir Putin is not the one to cross. So Prigozhin had better sleep with his eyes open.
Wow. 240,000 people?
We haven't seen that since World War II.
Wow. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Now, talking about dictators and threats and all of that, did you see the Trump video and the Trump comment?
Yes.
I mean, first he's saying, if you F with us, if you do something bad to us, we're going to do bad things to you that have never been done before. Now, obviously, this was a speech that was used in a different context that's been remarketed. But he also went on another talk show and said that we've got very passionate supporters that could be very dangerous if Jack Smith, moves and puts him in jail. Those very passionate people could cause some dangerous stuff. So, Jack, watch your back.
Now, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is desperate and he's hoping to scare Jack Smith and anyone else, out of prosecuting him. And at the end of the day, I think that there's a lot of people out there that may be huge Trump supporters, but they're also looking at all those people who stormed the Capitol for Donald Trump and how many of them are now rotting in jail. And they're basically their lives are pretty much over. So, you know, I think that, you know, Donald Trump is in a world of hurt. I don't think Jack Smith is scared of him. I think Jack Smith is 15 steps ahead of him. Yeah. You know, now we know that because Eileen Cannon is a Federalist Society supportive Trump judge. Remember, he also knows he's getting ready to hit Donald Trump with another 45 charges over the classified documents. But, oh, by the way, Donald Trump broke the law with the classified documents in Washington, D.C. He also broke the law in New Jersey. So that's what he's going to do. He's going to go after Donald Trump in a New Jersey court. He's going to go after Donald Trump in a D.C. court. And I can guarantee you that Donald Trump is not that lucky to continue getting judges that are going to do whatever he wants. Because at the end of the day, everybody has to look in the mirror and say, do I want my reputation to be thrown in the trash over this guy? And anybody who's got anything between their ears knows that he doesn't care for nobody but himself. He will sabotage your career as long as he gets to get away with what he did.
Yeah, if you've noticed, there are a bunch of people who've been associated with him who are either, you know, been found guilty or indicted. Or I mean, there's the people in his sphere. There's a bunch of people with a lot of legal bills because of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like he's having a hard time finding lawyers. Well, number one, he doesn't pay lawyers. Number two, the lawyers pretty much know that if they follow through with what Donald Trump wants his lawyers to do, they end up losing their license. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be chasing ambulances in Montana pretty soon, you know, because that's going to be the only place he can practice law.
Oh, now I look at what's going on in Georgia, and you've got this Fannie Willis who's, you know, actually going, you know, there's, and I don't know if this is accurate, but the rumor now is, the leak now is that Trump and a bunch of other people are going to be facing racketeering charges.
RICO!
Which is, you know, mob kind of stuff.
Yes, and the thing is these RICO charges, they have to be, it's like they have to be two crimes committed simultaneously for RICO. And with Donald Trump, it's more than that. It's like three and four. So, I mean, he is facing a world of hurt. And, you know, at the end of the day, too, we know what he's trying to do. We know that Eileen Cannon has now pushed it over to, you know, until May of next year. And, of course, if he wins the primary, which he probably will, she's going to push it off to after the election, which is what we know she was going to do. But I'll tell you what. Jamie Raskin was absolutely spot on when he said, hey, if you're a person in the United States of America and you are facing, I don't know, murder charges or something like that, guess what? All you have to do is go file to run for president. And if they let Donald Trump go that way, then they got to let you go that way, too.
Yeah, no. But here's the thing. And this is where, you know, I know there's a lot of conspiracy around, you know, oh, he's gonna push the trial off and Eileen Cannon's going to do all this. You know, I've talked to former federal prosecutors, and they've said, look, you know, you can push this stuff off for years, and it's no conspiracy. If his lawyers want this to happen early, it'll happen early. If they fear that he's going to lose, they're going to push this off for years down the road. This isn't something that's going to happen quickly.
Well, I mean, you know, but once again, it's not supposed to be that way. If they set a court date, they need to, you know, justice is supposed to be swift.
Yeah.
You know, even in the military, the Uniform Code of Military Justice says that you are entitled to a speedy trial.
And the first thing you do, Rich, when they arrest you and they charge you and they go, is they you sign a waiver for that. Because I've talked to lawyers who've said, yeah, one of the first things you do is you sign a waiver for that speedy trial thing. Because trials, I don't know if you know much about our legal system, the wheels of justice grind very, very slowly.
Hello. Well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Donald Trump deserves to be held accountable.
Yes.
I would like to see him be held accountable in his lifetime. You know, I mean, he is 3 years and only 3 years younger than Joe Biden. Joe Biden can, you know, run a 5K, ride a bicycle, and Donald Trump has to be hosed down twice a day because he's basically soiled his Depends. So, and he can barely walk down a ramp. So, you know, I just want to make sure that Donald Trump gets held accountable before he is no longer.
Yeah, that's a job I don't want. Now, you've got the potential of a third party candidate. And the reason I bring this up, your former state of West Virginia, their favorite son, Joe Manchin, his name's being thrown around as the potential, part of the bipartisan ticket with Manchin and John Huntsman. What are you thinking of that?
Okay, first and foremost, Joe Manchin is only doing this because Joe Manchin wanted Joe Biden to appoint him as the Secretary of Energy. Joe Manchin is a coal guy, and he wants to be connected to the oil side because Joe Manchin wants to make sure when he's done with politics, he's got money coming in all directions. But he's mad, so because he's mad and he didn't get his way, he's going to try to do something to sabotage Joe Biden. He's going to try to get himself on the ballot in states that Joe Biden barely won in the hopes that Donald Trump can pull it out. Now, here you go. If you look at West Virginia, which Joe Manchin has been in charge of for the past four decades, we are 49th and 50th in everything. So if you want to elect a person for president who has been 49th and 50th in everything, I mean, goodness gracious, all you have to do is walk into West Virginia and flush the toilet and you make it better, you know, and Joe Manchin hasn't. So, you know, these people should be smart enough to know that if you vote for Joe Manchin, you're wasting your vote. At the end of the day, there's more Democrats than there are Republicans, and Republicans are waking up. And I do believe that Republicans are waking up. So, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, the recent poll, Biden was 47, Trump was 40. And once again, Trump is continuing to drop because why? I mean, the guy can't even daggone talk right now. They can talk all they want about Joe Biden. But goodness gracious, have you listened to Donald Trump talk? Have you read any of his truths? It looks like somebody daggone, you know, threw up alphabet soup.
Or the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the other end. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda. He's the host of Ojeda Live. You can hear that every weeknight on Facebook Live and on YouTube. Also, he's the head chief cook and bottle washer over at the Turn Left Pack. Check out their website, turnleftpack.org. Now, I got to get your thoughts on Mark Meadows because, you know, George Conway has speculated that Meadows is, what's the word, strangely quiet or strange quietness on the January 6th election investigation. Is it possible he's the smoking gun? He's the
absolutely
the whistleblower?
Absolutely. He held out until he knew he could get what he wanted, and that's exactly what he did. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump should be shaking in his boots because we already have people that we know that we're in the Willard Hotel, that we're in the Oval Office during the riots. But, you know, let me tell you something. The chief of staff is literally everything that Donald Trump says and everything that he does goes through the chief of staff. There is like it's called a leadership marriage. In the military, it's your company commander, your first sergeant, and your executive officer. At the battalion level, it's command sergeant major, colonel, and the battalion XO. But in the civilian world, in the presidency, it's the presidency, the vice president, and the chief of staff. And everything that goes on, those three people know everything. They're a part of the conversations. They don't make a decision without bouncing it off each other. So Mark Meadows knows everything, and he's going to absolutely save his hide because he's going to tell on everybody. And in the end, they're going to hate him, but, you know, he's not going to go to prison.
He's not going to go to prison.
He's going to be the one that gets the vote. Yeah, we're all going to love him in the end because it's going to be his words that are going to send Donald Trump away.
Yeah, I'm not going to love him. You know, it's like I don't love Mike Pence.
I love to punch him in the face.
No. I can't go along with that on air.
No violence. Gotcha.
But the reality is he did the right thing, even if it was for, you know, all the wrong reasons, still doing the right thing. And that at least that much credit is due.
Yeah. Lastly, but he only did it to save his butt.
Yeah. And but the sad reality is Pence had to go to the guy who can't spell potato for advice, which is just, okay. Lastly, I want to get your thoughts on Marjorie Three Names. Evidently, Hunter Biden's lawyer has filed an ethics complaint again.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
We'll drag you out and we'll drown you in one of those nets. That's what they're really saying. That's the kind of stuff that, that's the kind of stuff that sells on that side of the fence. And, you know, here's my problem. As someone who has been poor, as someone who has been one of the downtrodden, the kicked, I didn't like it. And I don't think others should be either. Now, it's easy to be jingoistic. It's easy to, hey, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Hooray for me. Yay. Screw everybody else. But that gets us the kind of, well, the kind of politicians like a Greg Abbott, like a Ron DeSantis. Now, fortunately, and this is where I take hope. Fortunately, DeSantis is not rising in the polls. He's not gaining traction. And Abbott isn't either. That gives me hope that even maybe this is too far even for Republican voters, that this level of madness, this level of cruelty is a bridge too far for even them. I'm hoping, I mean, look, I have no empirical data. I have no, you know, focus group testing on this. I don't have the budget for it, but I got to think the fact that DeSantis is nowhere near going to be president, that maybe that they've had enough. Now, the love affair with Trump, that's a hero worship thing. That's a cult thing. And at this point, I can make no excuses for Trump supporters. I was able to in 2016. I really was. The argument being that people, they believed the con that he was selling. They believed he was going to do all the things that Joe Biden has done. He was going to bring back manufacturing. He was going to, you know, he was going to do all of this stuff. He was going to, you know, make the economy strong. We're going to make it great again. And he didn't. He ushered in almost a depression. And you go, but there was a pandemic.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Sweet
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for isolated thunderstorms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 56. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs level off around 82, partly cloudy. Lows level off around 57. Tomorrow night, chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
full automation AI route, it is going to be chaos.
Is there any chance of Congress getting their heads together and doing anything? I mean, if you were in Congress, you know, where, how would you tackle this monster?
Well, I think, that's a tough question. If I was there, well, first of all, I'd probably be part of a bipartisan caucus that tries to, you know, get the leading experts that you can find from all the walks of life, you know, from technology, from labor, you know, from different fields and aspects, and try to get them together to see which direction we could go, you know, in some lawmaking. I mean, I think that'd be the first step, at least, to do.
And I know one of the first things that I would do is I'd tax the hell out of it. I've said from the beginning, and I said this probably 10 years ago, mainly because of automation in trucking. I'm of the mindset that if you are moving towards a technological replacement of workers, that should cost you that worker's wages in taxes. So that, yeah, you could move to it, but it's still going to cost you on the short term. And we red circle that those people so that they're able to make it through to retirement, and the jobs that we lose will be through, you know, through people, you know, who have started in that, being able to finish out and go through, you know, making decent lives. But I think you have to make this a lot more expensive and redistribute the wealth from the productive gains in a much better way than we've ever done with this kind of technological change. Now, that's gotten no traction, but I think that's a start.
Right.
Do you agree, is that a fool's errand?
No. I think everything we can throw out there, you know, to make this palatable, you know, at least like you say, if people are being replaced, for them to be able to, at a certain age, to continue on, and also look towards the future, you know, of what we can do. Because I know the first thing that people will start to say is, well, you know, we'll retrain everybody to be, you know, as you said, coders, or we'll retrain everybody to be engineers, and that's not going to work.
No, most certainly not. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman and political analyst. I got to get your thoughts on the trial date. I got to move over to Trump for a minute. Evidently, May of 24 is when the trial date for Trump has been put down. I have no belief that the trial will happen before the election, but I'm curious. You usually have a thumb on this kind of stuff. Any thoughts?
Oh, I don't think it'll happen before the election. I really don't, because it's the legal system. And if it starts in May, and also I think we have to really look at this aspect of it. When that trial begins, there are going to be constant motions, almost item for item. You know, this classified document, for example, is brought up. And the next thing you know, there's a motion on it of presidential privilege or this or that. And there's just going to be so many. They could do 100 motions.
Yeah.
Now, their motions before the trial begins, that's all for the appeals process. That's why they make those motions, of course. But I'm talking about during the trial. You know, this trial could go on for a long, long time. And then, of course, there's the aspect of the other indictment that's coming and trial. Which I would think is not going to be concluded before the election.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the trials will be done before the election.
And a potential for Georgia.
Yeah, well, look, there's talk of racketeering charges, you know, RICO, which, wow, you know, we're trying the president as a mob boss.
And of course, then there's the money aspect. Because I think on one hand, I read there was $17 million that's been paid out, $15 million. And believe me, I can tell you, because I paid out, I think it was $581,000, and that was out of supporters who helped my legal defense fund, but also out of the campaign account itself. And that was, you know, just for my situation. So Trump is going to have to, one way or another, unless he uses his personal money, which I doubt, he's going to have to start to, he is starting to bleed these campaign accounts. Ken Cuccinelli with the DeSantis campaign, that used to be a Trump guy, he was pointing that out, saying, hey, you know, if you're contributing, basically, if you're contributing to Trump, he's using it for, you know, his defense, which...
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
And the Democratic Party. So the leaders don't want that, but then there's the circular firing squad. I mean, did you ever think you'd see the day Marjorie Taylor Greene is booted out of the Freedom Caucus because she says hi to the speaker? Oh, I'm sorry. He's a Republican speaker. The Freedom Caucus are Republicans. I forgot.
Yeah.
Wow. What a sin.
It is crazy times. Finally, I got to get your thoughts on Joe Manchin. His name keeps being thrown out as... one of the fusion candidates, him and John Huntsman as the VP. Any thoughts on a Manchin Huntsman ticket?
You know, I know Manchin's out there teasing it. I have to think that he is going to rerun. I've got to think he's going to rerun in his home state as senator.
Now, part of me goes, yeah, I agree. And then there's part of me goes, this would be an interesting out so that he doesn't lose, because I think he loses the Jim Justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still in the Manchin. I'm stuck in the, you know, Joe will pull it out one more time mind frame, okay?
Okay.
You know, because, as you know, I lived on the border of West Virginia and Ohio, and it's Joe Manchin, and he's always defied the odds, and he could probably do it one more time, et cetera. But I will say what is tempting, and your theory has some validity, the new poll, you know, in his mind, he's got 16% of registered voters that would consider supporting a fusion third-party ticket. And then, of course, you know where your mind goes, well, I've got 16%. I only need 33% in one vote, you know. And, you know, another trial for Trump and another stumble for the president, and there I am. I mean, he could be tempted into doing this, and it would be, you're right, it would be a way out. And let's face it, it would lead to probably afterwards a good-paying job.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, no. I mean, I look at 2024 is going to be an interesting bit of time, especially on the Democratic side, because you're going to have potentially Joe Manchin, the thorn in the side of the Democratic Party. You've got a kook and RFK Jr. on the Democratic side, another thorn. You know, it could be interesting on the Democratic side. Now, on the RFK Jr. front, the good thing is now I can tell him to shut the blank up, because now I know he's not really an anti-vaxxer. I had always thought he was an anti-vaxxer. All of the things that have been attributed to him, all of the things that helped build his whatever that children's network is, it's been all about the vaccine. I now find out he's totally vaxxed up. All of his kids have all their vaccines except for the COVID, obviously. But, you know, not the anti-vaxxer everyone thought he was.
Well, yeah, what's good for what they say is not good for what they do.
Yeah.
But you know what does surprise me, Rick? I can't tell you how many people, I call them regular earthlings. They're not, you know, politically inspired like all of us. But I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, you know, he's a Kennedy and he's going to really, you know, doesn't he have traction within the Democratic Party? And I said, no, he's not a Kennedy in the sense of a Kennedy where, you know, majority of Democrats really hang on to, you know, everything that he is about and everything he says. However, in this election potentially coming up, everybody makes a difference. If Joe Manchin runs, you know, and if Kennedy runs, I mean, it's just all a little percentage here and a little percentage there.
That's all you're going to need, because it could be very close. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that Kennedy name, I'm sorry, doesn't carry a lot of weight with me. JFK gave some great speeches and all that. But Teddy Kennedy was a disaster for working people with all of the deregulation and the push towards neoliberalism. Sorry. You know, I know a lot of people loved him, but a disaster in my view.
Well, and RFK Jr. has just went into so many conspiracy theories, and now he's, you know, the Republicans, of course, they'll put him on TV anytime they can.
Oh, sure. It'll feed his ego. There you go. Yep. Bob, as always, I appreciate the time. Good stuff.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney. I'm going to take a quick break, right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. From the top. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1931, and Chicago public school teachers went home without a paycheck. The school system was broke. Property owners out of work due to the Great Depression could not pay their property taxes, which were used to fund the public schools. Schools in inner cities lacked libraries, playgrounds, and often even adequate toilet facilities. Classrooms were overcrowded. Black teachers faced racial discrimination. School administrators piled on more clerical work onto teachers' already busy workloads. They introduced a blizzard of standardized tests. Still, according to an article published in 1927 in the American Teacher magazine, teachers were supposed to believe that teaching was a noble profession, free and immune from the cares of the more sordid world. The same article went on to say that many teachers, quote, believed their personal dignity and self-respect required that they keep aloof from any organization affiliated with labor. The Great Depression made teachers more militant. However, Chicago teachers stayed on the job despite the payless paydays. One Chicago teacher explained that they were determined not to desert the Chicago schools. It was not easy organizing Chicago's teachers. Only 10% of the teachers belonged to the four competing teachers' unions. But not getting paid helped arouse them. And 2 years later, 5,000 teachers converged on Chicago's largest banks in protest. They broke windows and overturned desks. Chicago's mayor, Ed Kelly, agreed to pay 4 of the 9 months' back pay owed to them. Finally, in 1934, thanks to federal assistance, the Chicago teachers received all of their back pay. You only need read about the current Chicago teachers' struggle to see that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website. website, therichsmithshow.com. Got an email here real quick that I just looked at. Terry writes, I tuned in late. What would you do if you were the teacher who was fired for allowing her kids to sing the Rainbow Song by Dolly Parton? And I just saw this in Wisconsin. A teacher was fired and for basically protesting the school's ban on the Rainbow Land. And I'm going, but you know, I thought this was a big hillbilly to do. They thought this would be right in their line. No, it's because it's talking about inclusiveness and you know, being decent people. And I guess we can't have that in education. So I guess this teacher, Melissa Temple, was fired last week in Waukesha, Wisconsin, when the Board of Education decided to go after her. And this is where you go.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy, and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.